I wasn't in a very good place coming off of my last season. And I actually made a video on the way home from my last game last year. And it was basically me saying, like, I am not going to be like who I was this year. Like, I'm going to be a much different athlete, a much different human being. And I'm just going to take care of myself. And obviously, I gave myself a lot of respect that season because, you know, playing straight from February all the way until the end of August in a grueling season against grueling competition is not easy. So I gave myself a lot of respect.
Hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Hey, hey, welcome back to When the Cleats Come Off. I'm your host, Ashley Agle, and you're about to join me for one of my favorite interviews of all time. And it is with a guest who we've had before. She's a local hometown hero, and even more so now that she's the AUSL reigning hitter of the year, Erin Coffel. She's back. And this is probably my favorite conversation. One, because we go deeper on topics that we've brought up before on the podcast. But two, we actually did this in person at a studio in South Bend. So it just felt like a deeper and just more real conversation that we were able to have. And it was so fun. We grabbed coffee before. We even met with some of my Virtual Hitting Academy members prior. And they actually dropped some questions that she's going to answer at the end of this interview as well. But all in all, this is just a stunning conversation. I will be listening to this multiple times because as someone who is from the Midwest, who's been doubted her entire life, I just find this conversation so refreshing because Erin and I experienced a lot of similarities. And this is just so fun because we actually met during her midseason break from the AUSL this season. They had 2 weeks off. And the first week, she actually trained with Team USA and Patty Gasso and her entire staff. And then the second week, she actually came home and I was like, hey, do you want to do something live? And she goes, yes. So it was really special to be able to do this because at the time of our recording, she was leading in almost every offensive category. And, you know, the second half, if you follow the AUSL, she actually continued the streak of killing it offensively and was just named a few days ago the Athletes Unlimited Softball League's Hitter of the Year, which is the coolest thing ever. In this conversation, we talk about her draft story and how special it was, what it's like playing for the Bandits and playing for a team, because as you know, this league has just started this year, and last year it was all points-based, individual-based, and she loves playing for her coaches, so she talks about that experience. She goes into how her training has changed from once being a college athlete to now being a professional athlete, and also she's coaching at Florida, and she was able to take reps with Florida's team in the infield, which is cool. She gets to share a little bit about that. And she also shares that she still gets butterflies, just like all of us, before some at-bats. So let's dive into this amazing, amazing journey with Erin. I'm so excited for you guys to get to know her on a deeper level. And you Midwest athletes, and truly anyone listening, is going to be inspired by Erin's story. Because everything that she has received, she has earned. So let's get to know on a deeper level Erin Coffel, one of the hardest workers I have ever had the privilege of meeting in my entire life. Erin, this is your technically third time on the podcast because first time we did an interview on Zoom. Second time,
you had talked to my Virtual Hitting Academy members, mm-hmm. and I was like, Aaron, can I make this a podcast episode because it's too good?
Yeah.
You were like, yeah. So this is your third time, but like, this is the most special because we're literally talking in person. Does this feel weird?
A little bit, but I feel like it's the most comfortable, honestly. I mean, it feels like we're just sitting at a coffee shop right now, just chatting away about softball. So
I know. And we don't have the internet to like slow us down.
Exactly.
On, you know, if there's a glitch or anything. Like that doesn't exist now. So this feels way more comfortable too.
Yeah, I like this. Let's do it.
Let's do it again next summer this time.
Yep. Hopefully there's a break next summer at this time.
Yes. So we are actually catching Erin. She's on a technically 2-week break from professional softball. She actually spent the first week training with Team USA, mm-hmm. hanging out with Patty Gasso. We're going to talk about that, of course. But did this break come at a good time? Like, did you need this break halfway through season?
Definitely. And it's kind of funny because this break was supposed to be for the Pan Am competition with Team USA, but they actually gave us an automatic qualifier. So we didn't even have to do it. So instead, USA was just like, okay, let's do a little training camp the first week, and then you guys will have the second week off. So it actually came at the perfect time because for AU, we just played like 6 games in a row, legit, mm-hmm. 6 games in a row. So it was a lot. And then we went straight into USA. So we were all like begging for a break at that point. So, yeah.
Okay. So we will get to Team USA. But I think the coolest thing that I definitely need to talk to you about is the fact that you're a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. Like when we first talked, you were a junior in college. And, you know, just living your best life in college, not knowing that professional softball would like be in the cards.
Yeah.
Maybe you were dreaming about it then. But what's it like being a professional athlete versus a collegiate athlete now?
Mm-hmm. It's the coolest thing ever because like you grow up watching like MLB players like on TV. And as I got older, I was just so fascinated about their lives. And like they literally play the game they love for a living. And you haven't really seen that for women's athletes. It's getting more and more popular. Like Caitlin Clark has really put on a show for that women's basketball. But now like you're really seeing AUSL take off and it's starting to become more of a dream for us, mm-hmm. like to just literally do this for a living now. And obviously we still have to supplement other ways in the off season for that. But we're growing and I think it's the coolest thing ever. And sometimes I just like sit in my hotel room because we get our own hotel room now. We don't have to share with somebody. So that's also legit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I am actually like living the dream right now. Like this is what I dreamed about. This is the grind that I love to do. So it's been so cool. And like just when I take a step back and really look at it, I'm like, I'm living the dream right now. So
I am not gonna lie, I get emotional thinking about it
because,
you know, you've heard from me, my experience playing mm-hmm. professional softball, and it was not this at all. But, you know, I was thinking about it and my sister, my middle sister, Christina, who's 5 years younger than me, mm-hmm. I was always thinking about it like post career, like how could she actually like have an avenue where it would be better than what, you know, mm-hmm. I went through and a lot of us went through. But, you know, you do get to like have, and of course, there are still ways that it can get better, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's like
absolutely,
anything.
Yeah.
But how cool is it that like you guys are getting paid? Getting paid to play, like actually getting paid. Like mine was like a cute little summer job. But with that, do you feel any sort of like responsibility mm-hmm. to like make sure you're putting your best foot forward?
Yeah,
with your training?
I mean, there's definitely like a pressure now. Like if you don't perform, there's a possibility like you won't get drafted or get asked back to your team because right now with where AUSL is going, it's still growing. And they're going to want the best of the best and they only have a limited number of spots per team right now and per, you know, roster size. So you have to perform it to get asked back. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a lot of pressure with it, but I think that's the pressure that we kind of grew up knowing, you know. I think it's the same. And if you look at it any differently, I feel like that just puts more pressure on yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. If you look at it like the same, like you always have, I think that's kind of what makes you grow and keeps you going, but just what allows you to perform so freely. So there's definitely a good pressure to it. And the people who look at it as a different pressure, I think are like crumbling a little bit. And, you know, I think that's just part of the journey. So,
yeah. Well, you're absolutely thriving already this first half. Like you are leading the AUSL in batting average with .478, slugging percentage 1.174, OPS 1.841, and you have 16 RBIs already. And you said, how many games have you played? Not many. Yeah.
12 maybe, I think.
Yeah. But. So take me through, like, what has that first half of season kind of been like for you? Mm-hmm. Because you do have another professional season under your belt in the other format, which I do want to talk about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But, like, what was your first half of season like? Like, what's your approach?
So fun. Like, I can't express enough how much I love this format and the format of just playing with the team again. Because mm-hmm. Last summer, I'm not going to lie, was super difficult for me going off of, you know, playing four collegiate seasons with the team. And honestly, not playing to the standards that I want to play at my senior year and then bringing that kind of into my rookie season. I just struggled a little bit, and I struggled to find my people and just to really truly get comfortable and thrive under the pressure that I'm thriving underneath now. But I've just taken a new mindset into this season. I think it's been so fun to play with people who have like the same mindset as you do. Mm-hmm. And I think what we've created with the Bandits is so unique and so cool. And we created it so quickly. We had a spring training for like 10 days. So, I mean, you had to create it really, really quickly. And I think we did a really good job of that. But it's so easy to like hit behind Skylar Wallace and so easy to hit behind Bubba Nichols, just because they're such great teammates in that standard. But I just think for me personally, I've loved like working on myself, working on my swing. I had like a hitting coach, Trey Hannum, and he helped me tremendously. He was like on remote.
He's in Illinois, right?
Yeah, he's in Illinois. Yeah. He helped me so much. He works with a bunch of MLB players. So shout out to him. But also it was for me to personally like figure it out myself a little bit. I had this same mechanical issue like for a year and a half straight. And I was like, how can I figure this out? And, you know, you go through a bunch of things, you know, you look at videos online, you know, it's so easy to go down the Instagram reels doom scroll.
Yes.
It's so easy to do that.
It just beats you up.
It does. It truly does. And then you go work out in the cages and it doesn't work. And you're like, oh, yeah. So I truly just had to figure it out for myself. And I think that's what was so cool for me is that I feel like I finally did figure it out. It's just been fun making adjustments and, you know, looking at video and watching my at-bats back and, you know, making adjustments along the way.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned the team aspect because, you know, with this format for AUSL, you have a team, you have a full season. Before, you were on a different team every week with different teammates. Mm-hmm. And like, there is something to say about like finding your people that you can hit behind.
Exactly.
Like, right, you mentioned Bubba, you mentioned Skylar. Mm-hmm. And like, what's it like hitting behind them? Because they are quick.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have them on base.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
What's it like hitting behind them?
I just think they step into the box with such a presence that's like so confident, and they are so confident in themselves, but they also have the same mindset that I have, which makes it so much easier. They're just trying to get on base, hit a ball hard, you know? I think that's what's so cool at the professional level now is like, people just want to square balls up and just like do damage at the plate. And no one's like selfishly like trying to like hit a home run or anything like that. If it happens, it happens. But hitting behind like Bubba Nichols, like she's amazing. Like one of the best players in the world. And she played for the U.S. Olympic team. Like she carries such a mindset with her. And I just love being around her. She brings such a positive presence to the field every day, and I aspire to be more like it. So I love having them on my team and playing with them as teammates. So it's been a joy to play with them.
And you got to spend this last week with them because Team USA practices. Exactly. So it's really making your IQ probably
go through the roof.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the Bandits had like close to 5 or 6 players in the USA, like team and in the pool combined. So I think we're showing out for ourselves a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love seeing, you know, the graphic where, you know, there were multiple players on every team that were one of the, you said 30 that were out.
40, yeah.
40 in Oklahoma City training, you know, together this past week, which I think is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But just quickly, I want to go back because you had the one season under your belt with Athletes Unlimited, the original format, which you will go back to after this AUSL season.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Which will be kind of fun because you've already got your season under your belt.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned the team aspect is something that you love about AUSL. Do you think that is something that will like continue, that will go, you know, we'll do that every year now?
For sure.
Cool.
Because I've heard such positive feedback from everybody. Like, yeah. Everybody loves this type of format. And it's hard not to like, because like, this is what everyone's used to, you know, mm-hmm. playing with teammates. And that's what makes it all worth it. You know, playing for yourself and playing for money is like, it's fun sometimes, but like when you struggle, like it's up to you. So when you struggle with a team, it's easier to fall back on your teammates. But I just think, you know, this league is going to continue to grow. It's grown so much because of the team aspect. Mm-hmm. So I can see it growing and growing and growing every single year, especially with the leadership that we have now too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you said you were training in college, it had transformed. It was different in college than, you know, before college. Mm-hmm. You on previous episodes have talked about like burnout that mm-hmm. you faced before. Does your training look different now that you're a professional athlete? I'm asking you this because I remember, you know, hanging out with Kelly Crutchman, Kat Osterman, and they're like, oh gosh, like our bodies can't work the same way
yeah.
that they used to.
Yeah.
Like we're getting older, but like obviously they're smarter mm-hmm. and it's like working smarter, not harder. Yeah. Do you feel like your training has transitioned at all since being a professional athlete?
You know, so I'm a grad assistant at Florida. So I'm still in the college space.
Yes.
And I'm around their practices every single day. And Coach Walton is nice enough to let me do defense with them every single day. So it's like a meeting in the middle ground because I do hit on my own and I have to find a way to hit on my own. But the defense part I'm still doing with a college team.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that he's letting you do
no,
that.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I've learned so much. And so it's like right in the middle almost. But I have had to figure out like the strength training piece of it and the conditioning piece of it. Cause I've always done that with the team. So now it's pretty much up to me now. And I've love working out by myself. I figured out no one slows me down. I don't have to wait for anybody, so I think I do like that aspect of it. But being around girls every day and doing defense with them every day, like people have told me to cherish that because yeah. it's really hard to like get in defense
most
by yourself.
Pros, yeah exactly. Most pros are by themselves
correct
all off season
exactly. And we're not like professional softball players aren't in the space right now to have their own trainer, you know, follow yeah. them around every single day and yes. hit ground balls to them and do flips with them. So
you have your dad.
I have my dad.
When yeah. you have him.
When I have him. Yes, correct. And if I move closer to home, I'm sure he'd be more fortunate to do that with me. But it's been fun. I have really enjoyed it. I was still trying to find the space of like overworking and like not overworking, if mm-hmm. that makes any sense. Like I'm a grinder and I love to work hard. But I also have figured out that I need rest. I need to relax. And it's really hard for me to relax and like take a break. So I'm still trying to find that. I think that's just what it takes to be great though, is to just, I'd rather work hard than not work enough. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And that's something that you'll continuously like work on. I mean, you even said it in a previous episode, was like you're constantly evolving mm-hmm. your training. And like I even know with the 2 years that I played, and my experience was nowhere near yours in regards to just the competitive fire that you have.
Yeah.
I kind of lost some of it when I was a mm-hmm. pro, but we're not going to get into that. But, you know, your goal is to just like keep playing as long as you can.
Yeah.
And I feel like because of that, like year two has been great.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you're going to know what went great into year two, and
exactly.
you're going to take that to year three,
yep.
and you're going to keep evolving.
Yep.
And then we're going to have you on the podcast 5 years from now, and you're going to, you know, have a whole different perspective.
I'm going to watch this podcast back and be like, whoa.
Well, I'll send you the first one.
Yeah, yeah. That
you'll
one.
Probably even see some changes there.
Yeah.
But I think that's so neat that mm-hmm. you're just constantly trying to figure it out. And I think that's what we all can learn from. Like,
yeah.
whether you're just starting out playing or like you want to play in college, it's like, you just need to figure out what works for you,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to change.
Because mm-hmm.
low-key, everybody breaks down at some point.
Correct.
And Natasha Watley had told me, like, her peak performance age was 27.
Yeah.
And you're how old?
23.
Yeah, you got time.
Yeah, plenty of it.
But, yeah, that's so neat. I love hearing that. Now, is the T still your best friend?
You know, as I have, you know, progress this season, they have tees available for us, but it's kind of like our BP situation. It's kind of like, get what you need. And cages are like,
they're limited.
Five cages to hit in. We have like two or three. So it's been tough to find tee work, but I'm like slowly adapting into like a front toss girly with like, you know, one arm drills front and back. And then just using my back. I think it's good to see a moving ball in place. That's what Trey Hannum taught me a lot, is he does a little bit of tee work, but like even like his front toss is off a machine. So just like doing your drills off of like a moving ball, I think has been really good for me. I still get tee work in when I can. And I still try to make it a priority if I can. So I would say it's still like, it's still my friend, but I don't think it's my best friend anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're just making the most of what
exactly.
you have.
Yeah. So, you got to do what you got to do.
Adapting.
Yep.
I love that. So can we actually get into USA training camp?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I know Patty from working a couple camps. Her son JT coached me for a season at Purdue. So he's like, come down here, do some camps with us. And we're like at dinner with Patty. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of wild. And that was, you know, before she had won, I think she had won three more national titles since I met her. But I feel like her approach and who she is as a coach is probably very similar.
Yeah.
But tell me about like your first interaction with Patty. Like, what was it like? Were you starstruck like I was, or?
I was like really starstruck. I mean, I like have been in the same vicinity as her before when Oklahoma came to Florida this past year, but like being in like the same room as her and like knowing that I was soon to be coached by her, it was like at our lunch before our first practice. I was like kind of like being like a teenager and avoiding her a little bit, avoiding the eye contact.
You're like, how much is too much?
Yeah,
like,
no, literally. Yeah. But then she stood up and we finally got the chance to meet and talk a little bit. And it was so cool. Like, I was like, I'm shaking the hand of a goat right now. So like the literal goat of college softball and softball in general, in my opinion, because it takes a lot to do what she has done, and what she has done is like so crazy to me. So I was starstruck, like very. I think that might be one of the moments I've like shook someone's hand and like maybe like passed out a little bit. Yeah.
That was me shaking Caitlin Lowe's hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it about her? Is it her presence? Is it how she coaches? Like, what is it about her that, you know, where you've gained that respect? Because I know you have so much for her.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just the way that she runs her program and the way she expects greatness, like out of every single player. The first, you know, practice that we had at USA is like, I was like, we just had returned from a USL break, and she was like, okay, we're going to keep it light tonight. Like, we just traveled that day. We're going to keep it light tonight. We're going to do a fun little game tonight. And it's called, like, there's basically three teams. We split all into three teams. And you're hitting BP. There's a team hitting, and there's a team playing defense. And you had to, if you hit a home run, you had to sprint around the bases. You had 15 minutes to score as many runs as you can. But if you hit a home run, you had to sprint. That was your consequence. So it turns out it was more of a conditioning game than anything. But I think she truly just wanted to see who was in their best shape and to see, like, yeah, we were all really tired. We're all in the same boat. Like, we're all super tired. We all just played seven games. But who can get over that, and like who can be mentally tough, and, you know, who's in the best shape? So I think it was so cool to like, it wasn't cool in the moment because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I'm so dead. And we had to do two games. So you had to play, you had to hit, and then you had to do defense. You had to do that twice.
Wow.
Yeah. In like an hour and a half span. So it was tough. But like, I think I gained a lot of respect for her there. She's not joking around. And I think that's exactly what USA softball needs. It's exactly what we need. We need someone to push us and, you know, to not feel sorry for us, because, you know, Japan's not feeling sorry. You know, all the other teams aren't feeling sorry. So, yeah, it was fun, but it was hard.
Yeah, that's so fun. I love when she's like, well, we're going to keep it light. Just kidding.
No, yeah.
Maybe it's light in regards of, like, you're just playing.
Correct, yes.
Like, we're not focusing reps.
Yep.
It's just, like, who's going to compete.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And I think coaches that are listening are going to be like, we're implementing that into our practice.
I would implement it. It's fun. Like, if you hit a home run, sucks to suck. You got to run around the bases. Like, you got to sprint around the bases as fast as you can and then try to get ready for your next at bat. That's in a minute.
How did you divide teams? Was it the junior team or
kind of split it. Like, it was the pool team and the roster team. They were all intermixed.
So. They were intermixed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who won? Did you win?
Oh, yeah. Our team won. Our team was not very good the first day. We only scored like 17 runs, but the next
only
day,
17
yeah but the next day I think we scored like 30 runs because we had to get to a certain number.
Wow.
Yeah,
so you guys like figured out first time around this is how we're gonna do it different.
yeah we were like, let's just like hit a bunch of singles and then someone comes up and hits a home run. But the next time we weren't worried about that. We were just, you know, trying to get the job done. So there's
a few Oklahoma players that mm-hmm. were training as well. Is that something that they do, that they did with Patty, like at Oklahoma? So they knew what to do?
Yeah, I think so. I was talking to Jossie Allo and she was like, yeah, we did this a lot. And I think it's just to see like who's conditioned and who's in the best shape and who's not going to complain about it. Because like if you really look from the outside in, like the directions of the game, like it feels silly. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like a little kid game, but like it's not, you know, who right. can be the most mentally tough. Because on defense as well, balls are getting scorched at you because they're getting hit off BP mm-hmm. pitchers. So that was also a challenging part as well. I'm like playing in the grass and at shortstop and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But like trying to knock a ball down so I can get an out, you know? So yeah.
Yeah. Can you think of some things that maybe you learned about the game or yourself, maybe mm-hmm. your IQ from USA training camp?
I just think for me, the first day, I feel like I was super timid the first day because I was around a bunch of players who were like, you know, obviously really, really good. And I wasn't happy with my mindset that day. And I talked to my dad that night and he was like, Go into it, like, who cares? You don't have anything to prove. Like, yeah, you're on the pool team, but like you don't have anything to prove. Like, just go out and be yourself and trust yourself and do what you've been doing this whole entire season because it's worked. And I just think from that moment on, the next day I was like really, really good and I was super confident in my stuff. So but yeah. I think just being myself and not being timid and going after it, even mm-hmm. though I've been playing like in AU, I've been playing with the best of the best, but wearing USA across your chest, like it puts a different type of pressure on yourself. So,
yeah, I'm sure. And I actually want to get into this because mm-hmm. I struggled with, you know, just being myself when I became a professional athlete. I've shared this before, mm-hmm. but like my coach originally was like, well, you know, once the girls from the Women's College World Series get here, they're probably going to play over you.
Yeah.
And, you know, former me would have taken that as a challenge and been like, mm-hmm. bet, mm-hmm. like I deserve to be here. But I initially like made myself small and lost a ton of motivation.
Yep.
But like you, from going from one of the greatest in college to now professional level where you got people who have been there for years, mm-hmm. like 8 years and plus.
Yeah.
How did you transition that way? And I know you said you let a little bit of your college season like translate.
Yeah.
But like when you started, like obviously you're hitting your stride, you're leading mm-hmm. the USL in a lot of places. When did you, you know, make that revelation of, no, I deserve to be here.
Yeah.
And just be myself.
Yeah. I just think this like off season is this past off season is truly what I needed. Obviously, like you said, like I wasn't in a very good place coming off of my last season. And I actually made a video, a little self-recording of myself on the way home from my last game last year. And it was basically me saying, like, I am not going to be like who I was this year. Like, I'm going to be a much different athlete, a much different human being. And I'm just going to take care of myself. And obviously, I gave myself a lot of respect that season because, you know, playing straight from February all the way until the end of August in a grueling season against grueling competition is not easy. So I gave myself a lot of respect. I gave myself respect now for it, but not, I didn't then, but I did record that video and I remember just saying all those things and I was not going to let what happened last season happen again this season. And that this past off season, like I took like a month or two off. I should have taken like 3 or 4 months off, but I couldn't help myself because I just wasn't happy with my results at the plate and how I was talking to myself in my head. I hated it. Mm. So I just went to work and I didn't let that rookie season come into that off season and come into this season because if I want to be great, I can't let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
because everyone goes through periods of that, obviously. But I didn't want the same season to happen again this season. So I just went to work. I went to work, and I think I was just super uber positive with myself. And I granted myself a lot of grace throughout it, because being a GA, you're a manager pretty much. Mm-hmm. So I was at the field from 10, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. every single day. And then you had to find work to get in. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's not easy, but I did it, and I showed up for myself every single day. I tried to eat well, you know, get all my exercise in that I need to get in, and it's been showing. So
it was a grind, but yeah, it's working.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that on your own to record the video, or did someone tell you to do that?
Because no,
that's genius.
I came up with it by myself. I think I was just in a place where I was like,
get it out.
Yeah. I need to get it out. I need to be done with this season, and like, tell myself, like, I have a recording, like, this is not happening again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I still look back at it.
Now, you probably don't want to reflect back on that first season, but I think a lot of people could learn from what you were going through. Mm-hmm. Like, what were those negative thoughts going through your head? Mm-hmm. Like, because I could probably share and spit out so many that were maybe similar.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it was just a constant, like, there was just this constant feeling that I had, and it was like, oh, I have a game today. Like, oh my gosh, I have a game today. I have to perform. Like, here's another day. Like, these are just some of the thoughts. Here's another day of going like 0-3. Like, it was just uber, uber negative, like so negative. And it was just constant putting pressure on myself, like scaring myself into making errors on the field, and, you know, like trying to be so perfect and trying to figure out my mechanics. And if my mechanics weren't perfect, then I wasn't going to perform at the plate. So it was just like, it was a spiral, slow spiral. And I finally, like 2 weeks left of the season or a week left of the season, I don't know what I came upon. I think it was on TikTok or Instagram, and it was like manifestation. No, it was a podcast. It's the Mindset Mentor.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
I've definitely heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like how to make your best life, your most positive life come to fruition or something like that. And that podcast really struck a chord with me, because it was like just like talking about how to manifest your best life. And like, if you're constantly worried about what's going to happen or constantly worried about your past or your future, you know, you're living in a state of like anxiety and fear. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, that's me. And from that day forward, that's when I started the manifestation and the meditation stuff, and just trying my best to talk nicely to myself. So from that point forward, I was like, I actually had a really good series that weekend, and I was like, Mom and Dad, like, this works. Like, you guys should try it. This works. This is amazing. And I think it just comes back to like how you talk to yourself is so big and just reflects confidence. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking to yourself nicely, you expect the best out of yourself. And if you're talking to yourself negatively, like I feel like you're just walking around like with a 10 pound weight on your shoulders.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Can you give us some examples of like what talking positively to yourself looks like, mm-hmm. let's say hitting wise? Mm-hmm. Like what's changed? Because obviously, again, it's working.
Yeah. every single at bat, I look out of the pitcher, and it's always, I can, I will. Like, I can beat her. I will beat her. Every single pitch of hers, I can hit, and I can hit it hard. And every time I feel an ounce of fear come in, it's nope, I can, I will. Like, I will beat her. I will have a good at bat off her. I will hit a ball hard off of her. And it's just constantly repeating those thoughts over and over and over again. So honestly, that's pretty much like it. Like,
But it's belief.
Yeah. It's belief that I can do it, you know? So
that's really awesome, especially because, like, let's say you're hitting and you strike out against this hitter, which or pitcher, you are facing the greatest pitchers in softball. Mm-hmm. Like, they were great in college. Now they're elite, right? Now, some of them probably are going through the same mental stuff as you, right? Of the negativity from the first year, blah, blah, blah. But like, let's say, who's a really, really tough pitcher that you've faced so far this year?
I mean, I would say Georgina Koryk.
Georgina Koryk.
She's tough.
She's always been so good.
Yeah.
She can make that ball move. Mm-hmm. But so let's say you're facing her and like first at bat, she strikes you out, right? What pitch is she going to strike you out on if it happens?
Either her change in, her change in. It's her change in. Yeah.
That one. Okay. Yeah. So she strikes you out on the change in, mm-hmm. your first at bat. Mm-hmm. How are you able to get back to your next at bat and be like, let's go?
Yeah. It's basically like saying, no, let's go. Like, no, okay, that happened, whatever. Like, you're still better than her. I can, I will. Like, that, it's just constantly going over in my head again. I can, I will. I will beat her. Mm-hmm. Like, her pitches won't beat me. And maybe it's like a little, like, cue to myself of, like, you know, get her screwball out front or something like that, or sit her changeup because she will throw it in an at bat. So it's just little cues like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it. And now, you know, when you say, like, I'm better than her,
mm-hmm.
I think it's worth noting that you put in the work to be able to say that confidently,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of people who struggle with, you know, that positive mentality, and it's because they haven't put in the work,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But what is it to say that, like, what type of work have you put in, you know, that allows you to say that with confidence, that I can beat you, I will beat you?
Yeah. I mean, it's work that I put in every single day in the off season. I gave myself maybe a couple days of rest here and there throughout the week, and like while we were traveling and stuff like that. But I mean, I put in work every single day, and I made sure that like I was going into this season, and I've always worked hard. Like that's always something my dad has pride me with, and I've pride myself with, is like, mm-hmm. I've always worked hard. It's always been the perfection piece that's gotten to me.
Right.
That's what I'm like, that I feel like holding me back a little bit because I want to be perfect so bad, but at the end of the day, no one's going to be perfect in the game of softball or baseball. So I think, you know, that has what's made me really, really good. I've always worked hard. I've always mm-hmm. done that. It's been the mindset piece for me that I've had to flip and switch.
Yeah, for sure. And that's probably what got you into that funk that first season.
Yeah, it sounded definitely. Like. Yeah.
Yeah. Wild. Do you still get butterflies before at bats?
Definitely. Definitely. I do. I mean, and that, I think, you know, transforming the mindset piece with the butterfly piece, like when I start to get nervous of like facing a pitcher or something like that, that's when I turn on the I can, I will stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I remember you saying that in college, like I still get nervous before at bats mm-hmm. and like big weekends mm-hmm. and stuff. And I love hearing that.
Yeah.
So, like, because I told you before this interview, I was like, I'm kind of nervous. Like I got butterflies.
Yeah.
Because when was the last time I did an in-person interview? It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And it's like, it's the same thing. Like, whether you're playing softball or, like, taking a test.
Yeah.
Like, it just means, I think,
you care
and you want it to go well.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have to sit back and be like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I've done the work.
Yep.
I've prepared.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this. I love hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm going to be looking into the Mindset Mentor and probably asking you which episode was it that
you it's so good.
Listened to, so I can share it with the audience.
Yeah.
But this has been so fun. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, so right before we did this interview, we met with some of my Hitting Academy members mm-hmm. who love you, and they asked some questions and you already answered them for them, but I think it would be kind of cool to ask again on the podcast. But Emerson asked this great question. This is where you talked about breath work and mm-hmm. stuff, but what do you do before games to be prepared for your competition?
Yeah. So kind of going back, in the morning when I wake up, I like to instantly like get out my journal and brain dump. Mel Robbins actually taught me that, just to get everything out of your head, like that you're worried about, that you're anxious about, you know, literally anything, just to get it out of your head so your mind's not a mess. And then I like to do like write three things that I'm grateful for. Because I think gratitude is one of the most important things in this life. And then I like to write affirmations for myself. Kind of more of like, I can beat this girl. Like, it's not all about softball, but a lot of it is about softball because it's before a game.
You're in it.
You're in it
right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and then I like to also do breath work, meditation, and manifestation. I think that is huge for me. It really just grounds me and puts me back in the moment. That's really been big for me this year as well, is like, you know, when I think back on an at-bat while I'm on the field, I'm like, nah. You're here right now. Like, be here right now. Be a brick wall on defense. You're not worried about that at bat anymore. So that's been big for me. And then also doing a yoga flow, because I like to feel free. And last year, I feel like I was just so stuck in my body and my ways. Like,
tight.
Yoga allows me. Yeah, tight. Yoga allows me to, like, breathe and, like, really just sink into stretches and feel, like, loose and flowy mm-hmm. and free. So.
And great instructors allow you to, like, really feel your joints and, like, push yourself a little bit, like get a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I love yoga.
Yeah.
What classes are you taking?
I literally look up like yoga for athletes on YouTube.
Yes.
So, I mean, literally so easy. YouTube is one of my best friends. I've found so many informational and educational videos on there. So I just look up yoga for YouTubes and it's, there you go.
Yeah, there it is.
Yep.
And the breath work, you've mentioned that before.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that you're bringing this up because we live in, I just hid my phone, yeah. but like we live in a place where we're always on our phones mm-hmm. and like when we're uncomfortable or don't want to think, you know, we just consume.
Yeah.
Right. Like
yeah.
from TikTok, Instagram reels, like I get stuck
mm-hmm.
there. And I think what's so cool about what you do every morning is like you don't have your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You're just in your body. You're in yourself and you're like able to just breathe
yeah.
and slow down.
Yep.
Because like right now we... Whenever we have time to slow down, we always grab our phones.
And always. Like,
and we take it away from us.
Yeah.
But you probably have some of your best thoughts at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say some people have their best thoughts in the shower. So we don't have our phones in the shower.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Shower thoughts. So, I mean, I just, like, when I meditate, I like to do it for 5 or 10 minutes, not anything drastic. But I just try to challenge myself to like really just focus on my breath. Like it's so hard if you really sit down and do it, your brain wants to wander so easily and think about anything and anything like else but your breath.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so rewarding when you can actually do it the full 5 or 10 minutes and really just focus on your breath the whole time. And I think that you discipline your brain and your breath in that area as well, because it wants to wander. It wants to think about anything else. But like, if you can do that for 5 or 10 minutes every single day and you can really just focus on your breath, I feel like that sets you up for such a good start to your day.
Mm-hmm. So. And that calms the nervous system. Do you take any of those breaths like in the games too?
Oh, 100% all the time. Like when I'm on the on deck circle and I'm saying I will, it's always focusing on my breath with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to be in the most present moment, not worrying about what could happen or what's going to happen. I read a quote, it's like having fear in the, you know, not fear, but just being okay with the unknown, like being okay with what could happen, being okay with it. You don't know what's going to happen. Just be okay with it. Be here right now.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Addie asked a great question this morning about, did you play different positions?
Mm-hmm. So during travel ball, my coach, James Rudd, he always, like every single inning, he was switching us around. I swear I didn't play the same inning or the same position like 3 innings in a row. I was always moving between short, third, second. Sometimes outfield. I only played outfield like once, but still. he was constantly moving us around. And I think that's what makes us so versatile is like if you can only play one position and there's a girl and when you get to college and you can only play one spot like that, that's tough, especially mm-hmm. if there's someone in front of you that's really, really good.
Yeah.
So being able to play multiple positions allows your coach to like play the lineup a little bit more, you know? Where can you play? Where can you be great at? And at training camp, actually, Coach Gasso was like, you know, where do you play? And I was like, I can play short, I can play third, and I can play second. And she was like, oh, that's great. Like, the more versatile you are, that gives you a really, really good shot to
Patty
be on
Gasso's
the team.
Patty Gasso's telling you to do this?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's awesome, especially for, you know, coaches that are listening. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a player that just plays one position, get them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Throw them somewhere else.
Exactly.
Like, maybe during pool play. Maybe
yeah.
not during the most important games of the weekend. But, like, that exposure is mm-hmm. important.
Yeah. And Coach Rudd would always do that. Like, it was always during pool play. And then he would play us where we're our best, you know, during the games that mattered. Or where when a coach was there watching or something like that. So.
Yeah. I love that so much. Malia asked this question too. So she's in the thick of recruiting season and mm-hmm. she's doing a lot of camps.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to a lot of camps growing up?
Quite a few, yeah. Not
yeah.
as much as I feel like girls are going to now, but I
yeah.
went to probably 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a decent amount.
So, and also you did training camps with Team USA
yeah.
and like you're still exposed to like being watched
yeah. Yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
So she was asking like, how can you stand out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you set yourself apart from others?
The first thing I said was just, this is a basic one, but it's just hustling. Like, I feel like that can go so underrated and looked very under the radar. But I mean, if you hustle from station to station, especially towards the end of the camp when you're down and tired, I think that really stands out to a coach and trying to be the first in line as well. And also like Coach Lawson always says this at camps, like, go for the tough plays, like dive, like get off your feet, get on your stomach and dive, you know, steal a base, you know? So just stuff like that. And I also think eye contact is huge. Mm-hmm. I think that goes also really missed. And I think a lot of like younger girls could be better at that, especially because it just shows signs of maturity. And college coaches want mature players. They don't want immature players who they have to, you know, coddle and baby. And so I think looking a coach in the eye and like, you know, when you talk to him and just asking questions and just being mature and showing your maturity.
Mm-hmm. So. I love that you were like, go all out. Or yeah. Coach Austin would say that because, you know, a lot of people, they get into that perfectionist mm-hmm. zone of like, well, what if I don't get it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but it's the effort. It's the push mm-hmm. yourself out of your comfort zone. And then if you miss it, like, how do you follow up with that?
Yep.
Like, are you up ready for the ball? If yep. you're in infield, like throw it to me. Or are you just like mm-hmm. stuck, you know, mm-hmm. obviously stuck in your ways, like focusing, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like it's every coaches see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And effort is one of those, probably the easiest thing. It's like,
easiest.
Throw your body yep. left and right. Like, just
who cares?
Go all out. Yeah. But yeah. like, if you are in a camp and things don't go well, what mm-hmm. would you advise?
I mean, if you don't have a good day at camp or something to that matter, it's softball. It happens, yeah. right? Like, if you don't have another day at that camp, make sure the next time you touch a ball or you swing a bat, like, you're giving it your all. People have bad days. I've had plenty of bad camps. Like, I've had plenty of days where I go home to the hotel and I'm like, oh my gosh,
that was embarrassing.
There's no way I'm going to college. There's no way I'm going to make this USA team. So I just think people have bad days. Give yourself grace. Mm-hmm. Give yourself grace and move on. I just think taking it into the next day or into your next performance is the worst thing that you can do for yourself. But just giving yourself grace and moving on as quick as possible.
Yeah. We don't want to follow up a bad day with another one.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you have bad days.
Yeah.
You've probably already yeah. had bad days this season, but yep. your stats don't look like it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because you're able to just like get rid of it quick. Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, your dad is an instrumental part of your life. You've shared it in previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
He's like your best friend. I think you were just running with him on the street, I think.
Yeah.
Did I see this? He was like holding a band.
Over winter break, yeah.
And oh, was that winter break?
Yeah.
Okay, but you were sprinting and like, mm-hmm. he's your best friend. He's mm-hmm. there for you always. I want you to kind of give this time to just think about your dad and like, what is something that you want to tell him? Like based on, you know, your entire life training with him and being with him all the time and knowing he's like your biggest mm-hmm. fan, mm-hmm. you know, what's one thing that you wish you could tell your dad right now as a professional athlete, all American, all the things?
Ooh, wow. That's good. If there was like one thing that I could tell him, it's that I'm also so incredibly proud of him. He always tells me how proud he is of me. And of course, I take that like, he says that to me every single day. I love you and I'm so proud of you. And I never take that for granted. But I also want to tell him how proud I am of him. Because without him, no way any of this would ever be possible. And every single time I asked him to hit or he asked me to hit, like he could have easily said, nah, I'm busy. Like, nah, I'm okay. But he never did. And he's the reason I do work so hard. And I did work so hard. But like, he put in so much to me and he poured in so much to me and he still does every single day. I just think that without that, I am nothing. Like I'm truly nothing. And he's through my hardest of times throughout college and throughout travel ball. And even last year, like he has stood by my side and he's also gone through growing spurts of like, how do I be a better dad and not like not let my dad life like flow into my coaching, you know, life.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have rough patches of that. I think everybody goes through rough patches of that when your dad is your coach. Cause I remember like, it was like 6 months of like, oh my gosh, like, will he just stop talking to me sometimes? Mm. You know,
you're probably a teenager then.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I was like, dad, like, but he had to also learn, especially when I got to college and college shop was more mentally draining on me. Like he really, really stepped up then. And I appreciate him so much for that because I truly don't think I would have ever made it, you know, to the end of, you know, to where I am today without that mental and emotional support. Take out the physical and the stats and all that. Without the, I am proud of you every single day. There's no way I would have, you know, made it to where I'm at now. So.
Mm-hmm. And he's probably your first phone call.
Oh yeah.
Sounded like
he was. Yep. After my first day of USA training camp, I called him last week and I was like, Dad, I need help. You know, get me out of this mindset right now. And of course, the next day I was better because of him. So
he knew what to say.
Yeah, he does. He always does.
But he knows that because he was so involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like so overly involved at some points.
Yeah.
Right. Like
yep.
during that time where yep. you're like, go away, Dad.
Yep.
But yeah, he's been there by your side through it all. And this is where I had to ask you this question because my dad was the same.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, now that I'm thinking about this, when I was struggling most in professional life, mm-hmm. I never called him because I was worried that, you know, I was showing like weakness.
Yeah.
And if I could go back to my former self going through all that negative funk mindset, mm-hmm. I wish I would have just called my dad and been like, this is not me.
Yeah.
Because he was always the first one to tell me if someone doubted me. It's mm-hmm. like, did they know you?
Yeah.
Right? Like he'd get me right back into that check-in.
Yeah.
So that's, there's a lot of parents listening and there's a lot of things that they can definitely take away from just even what you mm-hmm. just said mm-hmm. about your dad. Just like he's been through it all with you.
Yeah. And I just think it goes like so far when you just tell like your kid, like you are proud of them. Like mm-hmm. even after a terrible day, like as much as you want to rip into them or as much as their effort might have been awful, of course, tell them that, but make sure at the end of that, you tell them how proud you are of them because, like, obviously they know what you're going through. They're with you every step of the way, but at the end of the day, it's really taxing. Like, for me, especially when I was in college, it was so taxing on my mind. Like, it was just a mental warfare in my mind all the time. And knowing that I had my dad that I could always call and, like, confide in, he was always there for me and he always made sure, like, he told me I was okay. Like, that was the biggest piece for me. He always told me I was okay and that he was proud of me. So if you're a parent out there, just, you know, keep doing what you're doing, but like, make sure you tell your kid how proud you are of them. So.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, this has been so much fun.
So fun.
We have to end with, you know, what we can expect from the Bandits.
Yeah.
The second half of season.
I mean, continue to win every single game. I mean, there is not 1 ounce of quit in the Bandits. I will tell you that. And I miss the team so much. I can't wait to get back with them.
You were just with them.
I know, right?
Isn't
yeah, we were
awesome?
Literally texting in the group chat. We were like, is it time for like the break to be over yet? Like, is it time for us to play again?
Yeah.
So I just think continue to, you know, to have fun and to win ball games and to be in Tuscaloosa at the end. So.
Yes. I'm really, really hoping I can get my way up to Chicago and go watch you because you only have a few more home games left.
Like five, yeah.
Like you play Monday, I think, against the Volts. And this won't be out until after that game.
Yeah.
But I'm dying to get there.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you must. Can you get me a ticket?
Yeah, duh.
I love it. All right, Erin, thank you so much for coming on again. This has been my favorite interview, probably because it's live.
Heck yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we're going to have to do this again.
Yep, definitely.
Deal.
Now you guys probably know why I absolutely loved every second of this interview. And if you did too, please, please share it. And crazy enough, she has her own Topps card now. You know, those cards that are professionally made for professional athletes. She has her own Topps card because she was the hitter of the year for AUSL. I have already bought 5 of them. I'm actually going to put the link to be able to purchase one of them because I think it is the coolest thing. I'll put it in the show notes along with where you can follow Erin and where you can follow the AUSL. Their season has ended now, but they're going to have a championship season where they revert back to the individual points-based play of Athletes Unlimited. So check that out so we can keep following professional softball because I think this is the coolest thing ever that the MLB is now backing professional softball. Sephora even sponsored the entire championship series. Like there is so much growth happening in professional softball and the way it can still continue to grow is if we continue to follow it. So go ahead, check out those links. Keep following Erin. Keep following other professional players who I hope to also get on the podcast here soon. And I hope you love this interview and you know the drill. If you did, please share it with a friend. Share some of our posts on social media on yours. This is the easiest way to be able to get more people to listen to interviews like this. And I am just so grateful to have you here today and literally every week that you come and listen. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. Don't forget to stay awkward, stay humble, and keep smiling. I'll see you next week.